listening to Miller & Moulton, exclusively on the Florida Sports Network. And now, here's Mark Miller and David Moulton.
Top of the morning to you. We can see the finish line from here. How the heck are you, Miller and Moulton, on this Thursday, the 19th of May? Thanks for being with us on the Florida Sports Network, floridasportsnetwork.com. I come at you from St. Louis, helping out Joe Buck, Michael Collins, with a new venture in conjunction with Peyton Manning's Omaha Productions. It's called the MegaCast, Mark. Golf, casual way.
MegaCast.
That's the name of it.
All right. Now we've got a name. That's right. Better than we've been all week. We know one more thing. You know one more thing than you knew yesterday. I feel like the show's elevated itself already.
Mark, you and Felipe at about 2-3 o'clock yesterday knew about as much as I did. So I know a little bit more than the both of you as of right now, so we're off to a good start.
All right, I'm sure we'll get to that at some point. Whatever. I got a couple of questions about yesterday.
Okay.
All right. Did you see the arch?
No. No.
So it's going to be an archless St. Louis trip, because if you didn't see it yesterday, you're done. You got to go to work today.
Not true. See,
well, Saturday afternoon, you got time.
Yes. Yes. We're working mornings on the weekend. Now, I fly out of here late afternoon Sunday, so Saturday's got to be my day, Mark. See the arch and hoping to catch game three, Blues and Avs.
All right. Did you locate a White Castle?
It's 5 miles from here. I don't have a car. I'm dependent on Joe Buck for transportation.
Somehow I don't think asking Joe to make a run to White Castle for a bag, or a sack, I'm sorry, as they're called, would be met with a lot of acceptance.
I want to get through one show first. Have to admit. So Joe's picking it up. Joe has a trusted right-hand man. His name is Steve Horn. He's been with him for 25 years. And Steve lives in St. Louis, and he drove to the hotel that I'm staying at and parked. So Joe was picking the both of us up, because apparently the hotel is in between, you know, where he lives and the studio. And so all of a sudden this car, and I think it was a big Cadillac, you know,
the Escalade.
Yeah. I think that's what it was. All I know is that as it's pulling into the hotel parking lot, the windows are up. He sees us and he puts the windows down, and he's got a hardcore rap song on.
Nice.
And he pulls, and of course, you know, there's a few people that are our age or maybe even a little bit older standing in front of the hotel, all right? And he pulls up, and he just kind of looks out the right side, and he goes, "Get in!" And he just starts, you know, chair dancing to a pretty hardcore rap song that, and you can hear some lyrics that are inappropriate, clear as day. And he's just bobbing his head, all right? And he's trying to make it out like he's our driver. Okay, to the other people that are standing around. You guys headed downtown? You know? So, which one of you's Moulton? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like me and this guy would get along.
And so, that's... Joe's got a good sense of humor. People don't get a chance to see it. Maybe they'll see a little more of it with the MegaCast here. 4 hours with Michael Collins. We've talked about it. We had him on the show a lot in our first act. He works for the Four Letter Network. We were part of it, a Four Letter Network affiliate. He had, you know, once we got fired and started working for a Three Letter affiliate, well, he couldn't come on the show anymore. So there you have it. Mark, you would have loved it. I, of course, immediately was like, when are you turning this down? You would have loved it.
Of course I would have. There's just several zeros separating me and Joe Buck. The two marriages, having, you know, another kid later in life. There's just, he's right? Just got one more comma before the start of his net worth than I do with mine. That's all.
But just also, you know, taste in music and what have you. So that's what I'm dealing with here, Mark, in St. Louis. I've got to be on my toes. I've got to be flexible. Two things I'm usually not.
I'm watching now just for this. What time do you go on today?
We are 1 to 5 today and tomorrow. The first hour every day is on ESPN. Apparently, this megacast starts ESPN's PGA coverage both days. And then after an hour, Scott Van Pelt and the boys come on and do the golf, and we get moved over to the deuce from 2 to 5.
This will be so interesting. This has never been done. I mean, you are part of a little bit of television history. They've never tried this for golf. So this could actually, you know, it could be met with a lot of acceptance, or it could be panned universally, because that's how these things go.
Well, I will say it is clear that they are going after a totally different audience. I'm sure the golf audience will stumble upon it from 1 to 2 and be like, what the heck is this? And I have no idea if they'll like it or not. Usually, golf Twitter, not very kind to anything that is 1% different than a staid Saturday afternoon at the St. Jude Classic.
Correct.
But if you're not normally into golf, their guest list is staggering how impressive it is. I mean, I think Adam Levine's going to be on. All right. I thought I heard Timberlake. You know, I mean, Bolt, Mannings, Troy, you know, some of the usuals that you could expect. But it's going to be a fascinating, and some of the guests are coming on for 30 minutes. So I'm interested in seeing how non-golf it gets. Golf's going to be on the screen. Like today, Tiger's going to be on the course. I mean, do you really think we're going to be yucking it up? I mean, I say we, but I have a feeling that we're going to see every one of Tiger's shots.
I expect to. That's why, right, I'm going to turn the television on.
Right. So I will be curious as to how. The other thing I am interested in, Mark, is, you know, you have to be able to see the ball. It's kind of important. You know, one of the things that hurt Fox, their very first tournament, was that U.S. Open out at Chambers Bay, and the course was brown, and the telecast looked like a 1970s British Open. You could never see where the ball was on the course. You had gray skies and a brown course. Couldn't find the ball for 4 days. All right, that's a problem.
It was the worst television golf product that's ever been assembled, as to no fault of anyone's but the conditions.
Correct.
We've never had anything like that in the HD era.
Right. And it was their first telecast, and everybody said, well, these guys suck at this. Even though they actually brought about 6 things to golf coverage that now all the other networks do and claim as their own. But I'm curious as to how they're going to do it also with the screen reduced, even if it's reduced 20%, 30%, how people are going to like, I think you can follow a football game with this. When you, the Manning cast, I think you can still follow the game.
You
with
can.
The Manning
cast. I mean, I've watched enough of them to tell you as the fan watching, you can watch the game.
So I will be curious to see whether or not, you would think it's a small ball and it's usually right in the middle of the screen, but I will be curious to see whether it is still a comfortable watch if you're actually also trying to take in some of the golf in and around what it's going to provide.
Me too. Because I'll be viewing both. I'll probably do what I normally do on the Monday nights, though, is give Joe the volume and then put the other broadcast on without volume so I can watch as much golf as is humanly possible.
Makes total sense.
Because I don't need the golf coverage. You know, I don't need Van Pelt and the gang telling me that Abraham Answer is now hitting it from the middle of the fairway. I can see it on the graphic.
That is so funny that you said Abraham Answer. He is the very first golfer alphabetically in the player bios, is Abraham Answer. That is spectacular. In fact, we were trying to get them to ship us player bio books, and they kept shipping us stuff about the course and the tournament. We're like, no, we need players. And I said, please look for Abraham Answer. Once you find Abraham Answer, you have found what we are looking for. So I love the fact of the 156 possible golfers in the field, that you just pulled Abraham Answer out.
One, I like him. Two, his caddy, at least was. His caddy was the guy, the Dale Trail there, that eats the hot dogs on Instagram. So I'm a big fan of his caddy and his social media following. So there you have it. I mean, anybody that calls a hot dog a pork missile is someone I'm a fan of.
A pork missile?
And I have a feeling Michael Collins is a fan of him, too.
Oh, there's no doubt.
He's got quite the beard going, too. It's Lovie Smith-esque. Not quite, but it's Lovie Smith-esque.
It has its own area code.
Yes.
There's no doubt there. Just curious, in your research, have you changed? Do you have a pick this week? I mean, you get into all of this. Did it lead you down a path for who you think is going to win this tournament?
I picked about seven guys while I was doing the research.
That's fine.
I really did. So that's ridiculous, obviously. But I keep going back to Hovland. I will say this, though. When they've played the PGA here, they've played it, I think, four previous times. The winner is a golfer that has some historical significance. It's not a Sean McKeel, Rich Beam-type winner at Southern Hills. Dave Stockton won the PGA here in 70. You know, won a couple majors, considered one of the best putters on tour. Probably about as good a career as you could have without being in the World Golf Hall of Fame. Ray Floyd won the PGA here. Nick Price won the PGA here. Some guy named Tiger Woods won his fourth PGA here 15 years ago. So it's a track that I don't think you're going to have that Y.E. Yang winner to it.
Well, I think that bodes well for the PGA if they can pull that off. If you get a previous major winner winning the PGA, it always bodes well for the tournament. Don't ask me why. I'm picking Jordan Spieth the way he's been playing lately. That's a guy I've had in my head. Don't ask. No real reason behind it. No rhyme or reason. But when you say
they would love that, given the career Grand Slam.
Fits in with your mode.
Yes, absolutely. It would. He's got a win in 2 seconds this year. Not a bad pick, Mark. Miller and Moulton, thanks for listening. Florida Sports Network.
Welcome back to Miller and Moulton, only on the Florida Sports Network.
Minutes past the hour. Miller and Moulton, the Florida Sports Network. Thanks so much for being with us. Got a good show lined up for you. Bud Elliott to talk about life and pursuit of happiness in college football and where it goes from here.
Boy, the timing of that couldn't be any better after Nick's comments yesterday.
I don't think Jimbo's going to take too well to it. I think the whole, you know, pupil student thing, that's out the window now. I think Jimbo's gonna fight back, and I think it could get ugly. I think if there's anything going on at Alabama that shouldn't be going on at Alabama, I think certain people are gonna try to expose it now.
And do you blame them? I mean, Nick got up and said they paid every player that they signed. We didn't pay any, but we think we might have to down the road. Oh, by the way, Jackson State paid their player that came there too, to which right. Deion's already denied it and said he's going to come out Thursday to talk about it more. Later today, rather.
Yeah. I think it's a dangerous road that Nick is going down here, and one that, quite frankly, he didn't need to go down. You're doing pretty well, no matter what the system is. And if somebody gets one on you for a year, you can adjust pretty quickly. I mean, I do think, though, what Nick's talking about is, in theory, what the NCAA came out a week or so ago and said, we're going to try to stop. what Nick is alleging is that these schools used NIL to get the recruits. In theory, you're supposed to get the recruits, sit down and say, okay, let's see if we can't make this a little more worthwhile for you. I don't know if that's a big enough distinction, you know, like Nick saying we didn't do that, but we may have to in the future. Oh, okay. Mark, Nick's also the same guy who last week said, I just want college football to go back to, you know, how it used to be when we had parity. And people are still pulled over on the side of the road laughing hysterically from that one.
As we give them the 1972 AP rankings.
Right. Remember when Gary used to come in studio? Gary Danielson from CBS would come in studio back in the day at 5 o'clock on Monday, and he sat down. He said, guys, let me read off something to you. And read it off, and Mark and I looked at one another like, well, yeah, I guess that's the upcoming top 10. And he goes, no, that was 1974. Oh.
So a lot's changed.
Right.
It's the same 8 teams and 2 outliers every year, or so it seems. But to your point, David, whatever system's been out there, Alabama's done pretty well by it.
And they can adjust to it within a year. Like, all right, if you're, you know, if A&M outgamed you this year, you know, they did it, and by the way, not illegal. I mean, it's not illegal until now, supposedly. But what they did was within the rules. Might not have been within the spirit of when the rules were passed, but it is within the rules. But it's 1 year, Nick. Come on.
Well, I don't even know if it was within the rules. I mean, I think we could spend a day figuring out whether it was within the rules. But to your point, one, I don't know how many people care, first off, whether it was within the rules. But from the get-go, pay for play was not allowed, and that's what looks like went on. Okay. Most of us don't care. But again,
no.
To your point, Alabama can adjust, and B, Alabama's going to be just fine.
Right.
I mean, how's the transfer portal worked out for Nick?
Well, he's got 4 starters out of it this year. Hey, I need a tackle. You know, I know they suck, but that kid at Vandy's pretty good. You think he'd be interested in playing here? Well, I'm sure he would.
Does anybody on our team know him?
Listen, I saw some film. I think it was when we were scouting for Georgia, the Georgia Tech game. You know, that running back for Tech's pretty good. Think he'd be interested in playing here? We got some carries for him. I mean, if he's going to carry the ball 250 times, might as well do it here, right?
Behind a good line. Not that
right,
line
see if he's
got
interested. All right. Hey, it's a bit of a grease fire at LSU. You know, we could always use a corner. You know, see if that kid wants to play here. Oh, he does? Great. Yeah. He's doing okay.
Things work out for Alabama. So the timing of that with Bud Elliott's perfect.
Yeah. So Bud Elliott will join us on the show. We'll preview game 2, Lightning Panthers with David Dwork. And our buddy Mark Lye will join us. Talk a little PGA at Southern Hills, which gets underway in a couple hours, I think.
About 8 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Central, I think, is when the first groups probably start going off. Tiger tees off a little after 9 o'clock this morning. A whole day of not being able to watch it. How are we supposed to get by not watching every Tiger Woods shot, David?
I understand, Mark. I understand. I mean, this is the stuff Nick should be bellyaching about. I mean, picking up Tiger like on 14. I mean, this is like golf in the old days. What the heck?
I'm going to have to go to PGA Tour Radio, David. That's what this is. That's what this has brought me to. You're laughing. I'm telling the truth.
No, I know. I know. That's where you have to make a decision. You know, do you have the app? If you do, you could just, you know, stay at home on your lanai and listen. Otherwise, you have to make that big decision. Do you just sit in your driveway? Or are you going to drive around?
I have to
do both.
I have the app, but I'll probably do both. It'll be a little inside, a little outside, a little car driving. This is the type of day when I want to run errands. What do I have on the list to accomplish today?
No, honey. I'll do the honey-do list today. It's not a problem at all. Really? That's so nice of you. Yeah, well, you know, I'm in a good spirits today. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What channel is that again on Sirius XM?
That's right.
92. Got it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Tiger goes off a little after 9 tonight. We've got huge Florida action tonight in the postseason. Game 2 of the Sunshine State Series between the Lightning and the Panthers. Pretty much a must-win for the Panthers.
Yeah, I'd say. Yep. Don't like your chances, boys. 0-2 arriving in Tampa. Meanwhile, the Heat with a chance to, I wouldn't call it a stranglehold, but at the very least, hold serve with an asterisk. Hold serve with your hands on your hips afterwards. Kind of like, you better get to in Boston.
Absolutely. And, you know, I'm interested in that game tonight just because we had two completely different games in game one. We had a first half in which Boston was in control. We had a second half in which Boston was just obliterated by the Heat's defense and Jimmy Butler with another unbelievable game. So I'm fired up for game two in this series. Game one was interesting. I think game two will be fascinating.
And once again, yeah, both South Florida teams playing on the same night, but not at the same time. I think you can get darn near two full periods in of Panthers Lightning before there's even a conflict. And then you can get a good, healthy start to the basketball game. I mean, you got an 18-minute intermission in hockey. I mean, that'll take you through two-thirds of a quarter at least.
Mark, you mentioned no Al Horford.
No Horford, Marcus Smart back. Horford's doubtful because of health and safety protocols.
So it looks like Smart back. No word on Lowry. Most people think he's still out.
And, you know, Bam did not have a great game one. 10-5 with no Horford. You got to expect Bam to have a bigger game tonight. But really, no one needed to have a big game when Butler's going to score 41.
Good interior defense, though. He had like three or four blocks. Nasty blocks, too.
We're expecting the rock fight. We didn't get it in game one. Do we get it beginning in game two? The starting five is next. Miller and Moult.
Thanks for listening. And now, more of Miller and Moulton on the Florida Sports Network.
Miller and Moulton, the Florida Sports Network. Thanks so much for being with us. You know, you should take in the show on Twitch. The Miller and Moulton Twitch.tv channel. You know, we debate some of the biggest topics of the day during the commercial break sometime. Kind of like, what's a worthy B?
80%'s a B. It's a B minus, but it's a B.
It's ridiculous.
Are you kidding me? David, come on now.
You're a tough grader.
Yeah.
I am. I don't know what it was. The public school system that I went to, you had to get an 85 to get a B.
Was that a B minus? Did you have pluses and minuses?
No, there were no pluses and minuses. All right. It was 93 to 100 was an A, 85 to 92 was a B, 74 to 84 was a C, 70 to 73 was a D. Anything below 70 was an F.
Wow.
That was it. Yep. Yep. The Edison, New Jersey school system. Yep, 10 years of that, Mark. A lot of pressure. A lot of pressure. I mean, think about it. If you get 21 out of 25 right on a test, that's an 84. It's a C.
What?
It's our poll question. There may be another one.
Realize this was this big a deal.
I'm just baffled right now that you think an 80% is a C. Do you know what my grades would have been if 80% would have been a C?
Oh,
I don't know what to tell you. To me, A was excellent, B was good, C was average, D was poor, F was, well, failing. So do you think
an 80... F was a beating.
Do you think 80 is quote-unquote good?
Yes. Borderline great.
I don't think it meets the definition of good. It's getting there.
Okay, there's five questions. You get four right. If five right is excellent, four right would be good.
Pretty good.
Pretty good is a B minus in my world. And that's what an 80 is.
Well, come on. Let's be honest. The difference between C plus and B minus is the difference between half empty and half full. Is it partly cloudy or is it partly sunny? I mean, that's the difference between C plus and B minus.
No, the difference between B minus and C plus was the smile on your face to that teacher. That's all that was. Your likability factor.
Well, then you and I got a lot of C pluses.
Not true. I could con many a teacher back then, David. I hadn't turned into the blankety blank that I am now.
You were a schmoozer, were you, back in the day? Wow. I didn't think you had it in you, even at 12. And come on now, you got to admit, I've known you 23 years. That's not exactly the wrong leap to make during the 23 years that I've known you, too.
No, somewhere around 16, full snark came in, David.
All right, fair enough. Fair enough. All right, let's do this.
The Starting Five. Five stories you need to know. It's The Starting Five on Miller & Moulton. Here's number one.
So Bryson DeChambeau practiced a full round yesterday. Was hitting multiple shots a hole. And seemed fine. But announced afterwards that, yeah, I'm not fine. I'm not 100%. I don't want to play when less than 100%. I've done that twice before. It hasn't worked out well. So DeChambeau withdraws from the PGA.
So wait a minute. Bryson DeChambeau is not 100%, can't play the PGA. Tiger Woods could barely walk and made the cut at Augusta. Just want to make sure I got this straight.
Two different injuries. You know, one's a wrist. One's a leg, but yeah, DeChambeau had surgery just 4 weeks ago, was given a 4 to 6 week time frame as to when he would come back, tried to come back for the PGA, says he can't go. He withdrew. Did you see this from the Pac-12 yesterday? They scrapped divisions.
Knew it was coming.
The NCAA gave him the okay, said to leagues, listen, you don't want to have an East and a West, a North and a South, a Leaders and a Legends, that's fine. So the Pac-12 immediately dissolved the North and the South. And they're just going to play out the schedule as is. The teams that have the two best records, they're going to meet in the conference title game in Vegas. Big 12's been doing that, right?
Right.
Expect the ACC to do it next. Who knows, maybe even before Memorial Day weekend, because the ACC has wanted to do this for a long time. Got to admit, that's a big conference to scrap divisions. But if you're a Florida State in Miami, you like this, scrapping the divisions?
I think in the long run, it'll work out for you.
What's interesting to me, if the ACC does it, I mean, in the Pac-12, they obviously don't play 11 conference games, so you're going to have situations where certain schools could just have the better draw that year. They play two harder schools versus you play two easier schools and what have you. But boy, in the ACC, I mean, you could have schools that play completely different schedules.
Right, then the Notre Dame factor, which won't add into conference records, but will factor into schedule difficulty.
Right. So it'll be very interesting to me if the ACC does it. To me, the conference is too big to scrap divisions. That's just me. Let's start with hockey then last night. Rangers played about as well as they could play, but they didn't put the Canes away. It was 1-0 forever. And you knew watching it, if they don't make it 2, they're probably going to lose. Aho scores late. Ian Cole scores early in overtime. Carolina, still perfect at home in the playoffs, 5-0. They win game one against the Rangers 2-1. Meanwhile, the Battle of Alberta went just blank crazy. They went to a time warp. Like, channel your inner 1985.
Vernon gives up a big goal early in the third for the tie, and then...
Gretzky and the boys came back from 5-1 and 6-2 deficits, but Lanny McDonald and company with 3 late, and the Flames behind McDonald and Joe Nieuwendyk beat Edmonton 9-6.
Very good, David. Very good.
Matthew Tkachuk with a hat trick for the Flames. That's right, 9-6.
Field goal battle between the Stampeders and the Eskimos.
Yes, really. Game 2 tonight, Sunrise. Lightning up 1-0 on the Panthers. Seems to be a big game for Florida. It's just me. Colorado's at home for game 2 against the Blues. Avs won game 1 in overtime. NBA Western Conference Finals got underway yesterday, and Steph and the boys showed Dallas, hey, we ain't Chris Paul and company. Steph with 21 points and 12 rebounds. How about that? Golden State won 3 of the 4 quarters, one going away 112-87. Game 2 tonight in Miami. Heat hosting the Celtics. 3.5-point favorite, by the way. Marcus Smart probable for the Seas. Horford is doubtful. Kyle Lowry is doubtful to out for the Heat. Game 2, Miami yet to lose at home in the playoffs. Celtics coming into this series had the best road record in the playoffs. Baseball. 6-1 Tampa over Detroit. Isaac Paredes haunted the Tigers with 2 home runs. Boy, things are getting really bad in Detroit. What was supposed to be a promising, you know, B500 and let everybody know 2023, you're coming year. They got the worst record in the American League, maybe the worst record in baseball at this point. And Eduardo Rodriguez is headed straight to the IL. He walked off the mound in St. Pete last night with an arm injury. Not good. Marlins lost to the Nats 5-4 and 10. Gerrit Cole, 7 impressive innings. The Yankees keep winning. They're 28-9. That's better than 75%.
Yeah, it is.
This is the Yankees, and this is one of the 3 greatest starts in the history of their franchise. The Yankees. 3-2 over the Orioles. Okay, guess the attendance in Oakland. Over-under was 4,000.
You know, they've been doing this school stuff on Wednesday and fooling us. I'm still going under.
Under.
7,106.
You can never get it right, ever.
It's that Wednesdays. They got something going on Wednesdays.
Don't know if it's youth groups, church groups, whatever they got going, but cheap, boy, are they packing the house. Right. Had as many people there yesterday afternoon as they had for the first 2 games combined. They saw the Twins wallop the A's 14-4. Milwaukee scored 1 in the 9th, 1 in the 10th, 2 in the 11th. Beat Atlanta 7-6 and 11. Mets beat the Cards 11-4, but Scherzer had to take himself out of the game in the 6th inning. He said his side hurts. The injuries are really beginning to pile up on the Mets. It hasn't hurt them in the standings yet, but wait about an hour and a half, and it probably will. Colorado had lost 12 straight to the Giants. They scored 3 in the 8th to win 5-3. Same score, Dodgers beat Arizona. Remember the night before when Houston scored 9 in the 2nd, hit 5 homers? Yeah, Nick Pivetta took it personally for the Red Sox. He threw a complete game 2-hitter. 5-1 Boston over Houston. Game took 2 hours and 38 minutes. A Red Sox game took 2:38. You see, it can be done. Zach Wheeler, 7 shutout innings. Phillies 3-0 over the Padres. Seattle avoids the sweep in Toronto 5-1. Pirates beat the Cubs 3-2. Texas got a 2-run homer in the 10th to beat the Angels 6-5. And KC 6-2 over the White Sox. Tell you what, the Eagles on paper look damn close to the Cowboys. They've had a terrific offseason, and they added to it yesterday. They signed former Giants cornerback James Bradbury. He gets 1 year, $7.5 million, with $2.5 million in incentives that they think he can reach if he stays healthy. So he could get $10 million. Jarvis Landry and James Bradbury have been signed in the last few days. These are good players. What are teams doing?
We're not supposed to take vacations till July, David, but it seems like a lot of teams' front offices are sleeping right now.
The CFL and their players reached a tentative agreement. Apparently, there was a strike north of the border, just the second one in the history of the league. So now everybody's going to show up at training camp and all's well in the CFL, a league that's really struggling financially. Pat has always thought that the NFL should buy it. I don't think it's the worst idea in the world.
No, but they're more interested in the XFL for whatever reason.
And Nick Saban, who's making $11.5 million, said that A&M got the number one recruiting class because every recruit got an NIL deal. They all got paid. We didn't do that, but you know what? We may have to. Bud Elliott will join us at 8 o'clock to talk about it. Nick Saban complaining about things in college football. Now, that's rich.
It really you is, gotta, David.
That is rich. And that, Mark, was...
That was the Starting Five every weekday morning at this time on Miller and Moulton.
By the way, what did he think was going to happen? I mean, Miller and Moulton knew this was going to happen. We don't know squat. A couple of yahoos. We knew this was going to happen. We said we were okay with it, though. Take 3 to 5 years. Let, you know, the dust settle. Pick your cliche. And then, you know, we'll figure it out going forward.
I don't know what he was ultimately thinking, but I think part of it was to let people know, if we want to get in the game that others are, we can make this canyon even wider than it already is. That's how I took it. We can jump in too. One bad year, we'll jump in and show you what it's really like if we put what we have behind NIL.
I would look at him and go, so you can get better? The last 15 years have been pretty good. By the way, you only get to keep about 25 of them, Nick. You got to throw the rest of the fish back in the pond. Miller and Moulton.